Hello everybody. Hello, I'm George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. So I'm commenting about Shamim Maghum. She's now 24 years old. So she's originally a British citizen, born in the United Kingdom, into a family of Bangladeshi extraction, brought up an observant Muslim. But when she was 15, she did something very foolish indeed. She left the United Kingdom, she traveled to Turkey, crossed the border illegally into Syria. She and two school friends, and they decided to throw in their lot with the Islamic State in Syria and in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, as it's known about. So she supported that cause, which is, of course, a really horrific cause. We detested by most Muslims. So everybody does rash things when they're young. So teenagers are often foolish, and that's part of growing up. But, I think if you're from a certain ethno-religious background, people think, well, ISIS isn't so bad, and the criticisms, they're all lies, Western lies, and let's think about the atrocities that some of their enemies commit, and the Assad regime is absolutely monstrous, and all that's true. So she went over there, and you've got to put yourself in her shoes. Would you have been susceptible to this propaganda? People are very easily duped. So she was there. She got married to an ISIS fighter at 15, to a guy called Jago Riddick. I hope I pronounced that correctly, who's actually a white Dutchman who converted to Islam. So I know that 15 is below the age of legal marriage in most jurisdictions. I don't know about in Syria. Certainly in the Netherlands, that would have been below the legal age. So she gave birth thrice between all her babies. Died in infancy. So she lived in terrible poverty there. There are people say that Shamim Maghum had some sort of role in ISIS's mutawwa or whatever, for the promotion of virtue and the suppression of vice. She's accused of having tried to lure other women to enlist in the jihadist movement. There are all these stories, I don't know if they're true or not, that she carried a Kalashnikov rifle and so forth. And believe that ISIS's dress code must be stringently enforced. I know ISIS used to carry out suicide bombings and things like that. But Shamim Maghum appears to be a rather timid and diffident person who didn't quite fit in. There are those who say that some of these lurid stories in the press are bogus. But anyway, she came to regret what she'd done. And then she left Syria. She went to Turkey to register as a refugee. I believe her husband was killed fighting. Canadian intelligence is monitoring this in particular. So there she met a Times newspaper journalist, Anthony Lloyd, in 2019, when she was in an advanced state of gravidity with her third child. And she was living in the Al-Hawl refugee camp in Syria. That's before she managed to get into Turkey. And she regretted what she did, and she wanted to come back to the United Kingdom. But at this stage, she was still defending some of what ISIS had done, a claim that she'd actually witnessed a man being decapitated because he had was an enemy of Islam. But she recognized there was a lot of corruption in ISIS. People were attracted just because it was getting wealth and power because of the cause, and it had become oppressive. So the security minister at the time, Ben Wallace, said that he was not going to jeopardize the British public by helping Miss Maghum come back. So she was interviewed in the media extensively. But anyway, she had her British citizenship rescinded. Now, rescission of citizenship is quite an unusual thing to do, but she doesn't render her stateless because she can get Bangladeshi citizenship. I think her parents were born in Bangladesh, but at the moment she didn't have Bangladeshi citizenship, and apparently the government of Bangladesh said they would not allow her into the country. I'm pleading for mercy, and there've been various legal cases about it. Should she get her citizenship back or not? And now she appears to have repented, be a reformed character. She's dressed differently. And okay, if a Muslim woman wants to wear a black abaya, a hijab, something like that, I don't object. That's absolutely her right. She doesn't wear that anymore, which suggests that maybe she's not terribly strict about her Islam. And all people are entitled to be strict in their Islamic observance. I don't equate that with terrorism. But anyway, she's completely moved away from ISIS. So Can we trust her? I'm minded to say we can. Perhaps I'm being naive. And I don't think people should be stripped of citizenship. So, I mean, until very recent, until, say, you know, 20 years ago, no matter what you'd done, even if it was mass murder, they didn't take away your citizenship. Even the days of the death penalty, you might be executed, but you were not deprived of your citizenship. So I don't see a case for the deprivation of a citizenship. I know what the law is, that she has been lawfully deprived of a citizenship. She's had various court cases about it. The Court of Appeal heard a case about it in 2020 and said that she was allowed to return. But the thing is, she got no travel document. And then the Home Secretary then appealed it all to the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom, which in 2021 found in this case Begum and Home Secretary. The Home Secretary was correct, and actually he could prevent her returning to the United Kingdom. It would not be conducive to the public good. I don't know what sort of travel document she could use. Maybe she'd get a United Nations passport. And indeed, her parents' country said that she would face the death penalty because it's so against terrorism. I'm too merciful. Okay, and terrorism is terrible, and for some crimes that have life imprisonment without possibility of parole. But what she did seems to me to be minor, and mostly when she was a minor. So let her come back to the United Kingdom. You know, the Terrorism Act has got universal jurisdiction. She could stand trial in the United Kingdom, maybe serve some years in prison, but then be free. But I suppose she's the ultimate poster girl about how freedom is better, that she is someone who is penitent, and we want this contrition in others, and she'd be a very effective advocate to young people saying, don't be drawn towards ISIS or similar groups. I've been there, done that, and it was a terrible, terrible mistake, and I paid the price, and it's horrific. And for all the flaws of the United Kingdom, it is still a free country. You can say what you want, do what you want. You know, if you wanted to turn the UK into a Shariat state, you can legally campaign to do that, have your Shariat political party stand for parliament, something like that. And Muslims have greater rights and more freedoms in the UK than they do in many Muslim countries. So I think she should come back and stand trial if necessary. So there was another, in 2023, a special Immigration Appeals Commission, and that rejected her appeal because she said this revocation of British citizenship was unlawful, and that it unofficially makes it impossible for us to come back into the United Kingdom. So there'd be more appeals, and the appeal was lost in 2024, and all the judges of the Court of Appeal, they rejected this appeal against the Commission's ruling. So only a few days ago, the Supreme Court of the UK said she shan't be permitted to challenge the fact the loss of a British citizenship, because there is no arguable point of law, that she really just doesn't have a leg to stand on. So I've not read the relevant legislation, and I don't doubt that the learned judges have construed it correctly. I was like the legislation to change. One thing is, it's a political decision of the executive. So the Home Secretary can rescind citizenship. And so I think should reverse that decision. And it's actually a little bit worrying that a politician who may well be a demagogue could do this on unfair grounds. And I know that she has done wrong. She has transgressed the law. But surely we have to be Ruth. There must be some compassion, some path to rehabilitation for Shamima Begum. Anyway, thank you for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.